Sixth chapter, but we will be looking at a number of verses through the book of Nehemiah this evening. And several weeks ago in our first preparation for revival sermon on a Sunday morning, I preached from Nehemiah chapter number 1 and dealt with the report that was received and the response to the report. And as we look at what's taking place here in the book of Nehemiah, I'll mention several things as we go through the message with regard to the historical context. But let me say this simply by way of introduction this evening. God has given each one of us a work to do. He really has. And I preached a message not long ago on a Sunday evening, many members, one body, and speaking about the local church and the job that we have to do. Obviously, corporately as a church, we have responsibility biblically to fulfill the purposes that God has given us. But as we're many members and making up one body to accomplish that goal, we understand that each one of us have our own part to do. And God's given each of us a work to do. And I believe that as we seek to fulfill the work that God has given to us, that we will face adversity. Have you found it to be so? And you look throughout the Word of God and you find that those who attempt to do something for God are met with adversity or opposition, and such is the case for us as well. And we find that that adversity and that opposition is found in the book of Nehemiah as well, and we'll note some of that this evening. But I also find that as we seek to fulfill the task, the work that God has given us to do, not only can we face the adversity and the opposition, but the reality is that we as individuals, we can grow weary. We can grow weary. And we'll look at some verses in the New Testament with regard to growing weary as we near the end of the message this evening. But I want you to notice in Nehemiah 6 and verse number 9, and it's the single verse of Scripture that I've used for in the bulletin there, because we'll be in so much of the book of Nehemiah this evening and looking at several verses. But I want to draw your attention by way of introduction to this verse of Scripture. The Bible says this, "For they all made us afraid, saying," notice what they said. This is the enemy, the opposition. They had come and they had, Sanballat and Geshem had come and thought to do mischief to Nehemiah, according to verse number 2. And we notice that it says that they made us afraid. They all made us afraid, saying, "Their hands shall be weakened from the work." And then notice this phrase, "that it be not done." You know, the enemy wants to weaken our hands so that the work is not fulfilled, so that the work is not accomplished. And we find that it then says this, Nehemiah, simple yet profound prayer. He says, "Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." And I love this simple prayer of Nehemiah, this prayer for strength. And we understand as we study the New Testament, and Paul makes mention in 2 Corinthians 4 that though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day, and we can speak about the inner man being strengthened, and absolutely that is essential for the work that God has given us to do. But we find in this text of Scripture, and really the work that is seeking to be accomplished here, was a work that required great physical strength. And we find that there was much opposition, and through the process of not only the hard labor and the opposition, there was some weakening, if you will. There was some folks, they were growing weary, and so the prayer is to strengthen my hands. I've used that as the title for the message this evening, and I want you to just notice a few things with me tonight. Number one, notice what Nehemiah recognized. Notice what he recognized, and I'm going to give you a number of things that he recognized, and so go back to the second chapter, if you will. We won't make much mention of the first chapter. It's in that chapter where Nehemiah receives the report with regard to the condition in Jerusalem, and he prays before the Lord, and we come to the second chapter, and we find that Nehemiah has sorrow of heart. It is seen, it is obvious to Artaxerxes as he enters into his presence that Nehemiah has this sorrow of heart, and we find that Nehemiah begins to express what's taking place. And as we begin to just go through the book of Nehemiah and take note of some things that Nehemiah recognized, I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 12 of chapter 2, notice what the Bible says, "And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. Number one of the things that Nehemiah recognized, I want you to see that he recognized that God Almighty had put something in his heart to do. He recognized that it was God that put it there. He recognized that as he had heard the report, after his inquiry was made, that he heard what was taking place, and God put something in his heart. And I just wonder tonight, has God put something in your heart? Are we confident, as Nehemiah was confident, where he says, listen, at this point, we know that in just a few verses as we begin to study through the book of Nehemiah, that Nehemiah will reveal to these that he's working amongst and ministering to what God has put in his heart. At this particular moment, it says, neither told I any man, but notice what it says, what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. God had a task for Nehemiah. And that task, it was burning within his heart. And he had this desire, and he recognized that it was God Almighty that put it there. Notice, he recognized the in verse number 13, what is it that he recognized? Well, he recognized that the report was accurate. In verse number 13, it says, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. He recognized that the report that he'd received in chapter number 1 was an accurate report. He found that he had inquired as to the condition there in Jerusalem, and we find that he was informed that those that were there were in great affliction and reproach. And it says at the end of verse number 3, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And now in verse number 13, at the end of the verse, it says that he viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. What he had previously heard about, he now sees with his own eyes. And he found out that the report was an accurate report. And so he recognized the condition. Notice, I want you to see as we continue reading here in verse 17, number 3, what is it that Nehemiah recognized? He recognized that God's hand was upon him. It says in verse number 17, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the good of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I want you to notice that he recognized that God's hand was upon him. God had put something in his heart, but he also recognized that God's hand was upon him. These are all good things, by the way. Because the reality is that if we don't recognize these things that Nehemiah is recognizing, when that opposition comes, when that adversity comes, when we grow weary, well, we may just go ahead and throw in the towel. But Nehemiah recognized some things. Notice number 4, what is it that he recognized? He recognized the power of God. Notice in verse number 20, it said this, then answered I them. Well, let me get it in context with you. In verse number 19, it says this, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven. Don't you like that? He is talking about, and they, the opposition, the adversity, they're talking about a human king, but he's talking about the King of Kings. And he says, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. He recognized God's power. He said, therefore we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Oh, we have to recognize the power of God. Listen, the work that we're engaged in, it's a work that God would put in our hearts, and we know that it's our God, the Lord God omnipotent, that puts it in our hearts, and we find that it is God's hand that would be upon us, and we recognize that it is His power that enables us. And He says that God, He will prosper us. Number five, skip over to chapter number six, if you will. In chapter number four, we read, chapter number three, you read the work that's assigned, the building of the walls. In chapter number four, you read of all the attack. It continues into chapter number five and into the beginning of chapter number six by way of compromise and what have you. But I want you to notice what it is that Nehemiah recognized. Number five, he recognized that this work was, quote, a great work. Notice what he says in Nehemiah 6 in verse number 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? He recognized that it was a great work. Let me say this. Every work for God is a great work. Why? Because He's a great God. And He is the Lord God Almighty. And listen, every work for God is a great work. And we understand that as God had put it in the heart of Nehemiah to build the walls, as God had put this work in his heart and he had given him the power and the strength to do it, we find that every work that we would do for God is a great work. You say, well, the work that God's given me to do isn't the same work that God's given you to do. Correct. But it's still a great work. It's still a great work. Why? Because it's for God. Because it's for God. And when we recognize that this work that we're doing is a great work and that it's a work for God, it will give us a perspective with regard to, I can't slow down, I can't throw in the towel, I can't give up. Why? Because this work, this is a great work. And God's given me this task to do. Notice that he recognized, whatever number we're on, number six, I guess it is, I have them by letters in my notes, and I'm giving them to you by numbers. And so number six, and if that's the right number, I heard one preacher say number next, and that way you just know what next is, amen? And what is number next? It's whatever's next in your sequence, amen? But number six, notice this, he recognized that their strength is decayed. Notice in back in chapter number 4, they're working, they're doing the work, and chapter number 3 gave us all of the details, and you can go back and read it in chapter number 3, and the work that's assigned in all the parts of the wall and what have you, but we find that the work is being attacked in the 4th chapter. They persevere through this, they're praying and seeking the face of God, but we find that as we look in Nehemiah 4, notice in verse number 7, it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now, this enemy that's going to fight, you think about all of those that were named in verse number 7, this is a large host that's going to come against the work of God. The Bible says in verse number 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And then I want you to notice what Judah says in verse number 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. We find, as we begin to look at that word, when they make the statement about the strength of the bearers of burdens being decayed, it means to make feeble or to make weak. Now again, this task requires great physical strength. And we find that Nehemiah recognized, he received the report, he heard what Judah said, he heard about these that were working there and how that the strength of these individuals, these bearers of burdens, is decayed. It's becoming weak. He recognized that. He recognized that the enemy desired to see their hands weakened so that the work would not be completed. Number seven, he recognized that the enemy desired to see their hands weakened so that the work would not be completed. Notice what it says in verse number 9. We read it by way of introduction. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands should be weakened from the work, that it be not done. That was the desire of the enemy, was that their hands would be weakened, so that the work would not be completed. But as we look at this book of Nehemiah, I find that he recognized something else. Number 8, he recognized this. He recognized that God could strengthen their hands. He recognized that. It says in verse number 9, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. We find that his recognition of God's ability led to the prayer that he prays in verse number 9. This evening, we must recognize that God's given us a work to do. We must recognize that God's put something in our heart. What is that something? You say, I have no idea. I just feel like a ship that's just tossed to and fro with no direction. Oh, seek God and ask Him to reveal to you what it is, what work He has for you to do, and that He'd put it in your heart, and that you'd recognize that this work that He's given you to do, it's a great work. Why? Because it's God's work, and that God will strengthen you, that it's through God's power. And we find that Nehemiah, he acknowledged the fact that there was some decaying of the strength as Judah provided the report. He understood that the enemy wanted to weaken their hands so that the work would not be accomplished or completed. But we find that he recognized that God is able. That God is able. Listen, when we find ourselves weary, have you ever been weary? Sure you have. When you find yourself weary, oh, it's good to recognize that God can strengthen you, because there was still a work to be done. We notice, number one, what Nehemiah recognized. Notice number two with me this evening. Notice what Nehemiah requested. It's right there in verse number 9. It's the title of our message. It's a simple yet appropriate prayer. His request is this: strengthen my hands. There's nothing really complicated about that. There's nothing really deep about that. It's a recognition of several things that we looked at, those 8 items, and perhaps as you study the book of Nehemiah, you'll find more things that Nehemiah recognized. It's not an exhaustive list, but the reality is that as we come to verse number 9 of chapter number 6, that Nehemiah makes this simple prayer, this simple request, that God Almighty would strengthen his hands. I want you to notice that Nehemiah did not request for a change of assignment. He didn't say, you know what, this is just too much. Maybe I can get a new assignment. No, that's not what he prayed. He didn't pray that someone else would do the work. He said, God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. Go over to the book of James, if you will, in the New Testament. I want you to look at a couple of verses that are familiar to us. But I want you to think about this prayer of Nehemiah. Again, it's a simple prayer. It's a simple request. There's nothing complicated or deep about this request. It's absolutely appropriate to make the request. Listen, if you feel weary, recognizing the one who has the power to strengthen you and asking him for strength is appropriate. Amen? We find here in the book of James a couple of thoughts. In verse number 2, the Bible says, "You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war." Notice this, "You have not because you ask not." Then notice this in verse number 3, "Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts." We've often looked at verses 2 and 3 of James chapter number 4, and we've understood as people have quoted these verses of Scripture that you have not. Why? Well, because you ask not. You have not, according to verse number 3. Why? Because you receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. as I look at the request of Nehemiah here in chapter number 6 and verse number 9, when he says, "Oh God, strengthen my hands," I find that this is a request that is appropriate for the hour and for that which he's dealing with. In fact, if you go over to the book of 1 John in chapter number 5 and notice what John tells us in this great epistle that we've studied here on Sunday mornings, and notice with me in verses 14 and 15 of the 5th chapter. Notice what John says. Now, John had the privilege of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the privilege of hearing the Lord speak to him about the importance of prayer and the privilege of prayer and coming before the throne of God. And John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says this in 1 John 5 and verse number 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." Now, this is a recurring word and thought in the book of 1 John, having confidence, being confident that I'm saved, being confident that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am his child. And we find here that he speaks of this confidence that we have in him. Notice what it is, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Doesn't stop there. In verse number 15, it says, "And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Was it the will of God for Nehemiah to build the wall? As best we can tell, absolutely. This was a work that God put in his heart. He testifies of that. This was a work that he recognized God's hand was upon him. He recognized all of those things that we went through. And we find that in the moment of that adversity that continued to grow and in the weariness that was there amongst the people, we find that he makes this prayer, "Oh God, strengthen my hands." He asked that the Lord God Omnipotent, his God, would give him strength. We find that as we have the whole canon of Scripture, we look at 1 John 5 and we can say, hey, if God's given me a task, if God's given me something to accomplish, then we can have the confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. And not only that, but we know that if he hears us, that whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You know, sometimes we may not have the strength for the simple fact that we don't ask for it. You know how many times people don't get help because they don't ask for help? Right? How many times have you heard somebody say, "Hey, let me know if you need anything," and you knew they were just being nice? You know what I mean, right? They really didn't want you to call them. That's not how God works. He says that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. That's our God. Not only is he able, but he's available. And we find that sometimes we don't have what we need because we just don't ask for it. We need wisdom. Well, he said, "If any man lack, let him ask of God." We need strength. Nehemiah recognized we need strength. And he recognized who it was that could give the strength. Therefore, he says, "Oh God, strengthen my hands." Because of his recognition that it was God that was able to strengthen his hands, it leads to the request. He's never going to make the request if he doesn't recognize that God can give it. He's never going to make the request if he doesn't recognize that they need it. And we find here, not only what he recognized, but what he requested. Notice with me number 3 this evening. Notice what Nehemiah received. Notice what Nehemiah received. The Bible tells us that God hears and answers prayer. We just read verses in the book of 1 John in the 5th chapter, and we can rejoice in knowing that as Nehemiah made this request, as he says, "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." I want you to understand that the attack of the enemy did not cease immediately following that prayer. In fact, the attack of the enemy became even more subtle as they tried to get Nehemiah to go into the holy place in the next following verses. It was was a place in which Nehemiah was not permitted to go, and they invited him to go there, and in the idea was to go there for protection. That's the subtlety of the enemy. And Nehemiah says this, I know that if I go there, these folks are hired servants, and they're going to, the hired enemies, they're going to come and they're going to try to bring an evil report against my name. But we come to verse number 15 and 16 of Nehemiah 6, and I want you to see what the Bible says. So the wall was finished. Underline that word, circle that word. Isn't it good to see the work completed? What was the desire of the enemy? Well, that their hands should be weakened from the work, that it be not done. And we read verse number 15, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. And I want you to think about that 52 days. That's a long period of time. We do manual labor for 52 minutes, ready for a break, amen? But you understand what I'm saying. 52 days is a long time. The Bible tells us in the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, in verse number 17, that everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work and with the other hand held a weapon. Why? Because of the enemy and the attack. So they're trying to work. Armando, it's not like when you're trying to work and you can be fully attentive to what's taking place. If you're fully attentive, this guy's trying to... No. They got to do the work and they got to watch for the enemy. Hold a weapon and hold a trowel, right? And do the work. Man, 52 days. It's a long time. But the Bible says that the wall was finished. Notice in verse number 16... it says, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. And then notice the statement at the end of verse number 16, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. That's glorious. That even the opposition recognize the enemies, those that tried to cause the work to cease, even those individuals, when they saw what was accomplished, they recognized that this was a work that was wrought of our God. I want you to, I'm going to come back to Nehemiah, but I want you to consider what the Bible says in the book of Acts. If you want to hold your place there in the book of Nehemiah, and turn to the book of Acts, if you will. And as we go to the book of Acts in the fifth chapter, and I want you to see what the disciples are doing as they're seeking to fulfill the work that God has given them to do. And we find that the disciples at this particular time in the book of Acts, they're faced with some great difficulties. They've been threatened, they've been beaten, they've suffered some adversity. They understood, however, what God has called them to do. We find that it's in this chapter, in Acts chapter number 5, when they're standing before the religious leaders, that they say, we ought to obey God rather than men. And we find that as the work is taking place and as they testify that we are His witnesses of these things and they go through this whole process, we find that we come to verse number 36 at the end of Acts 5, and the Bible says, for before these days, let me back up to verse number 34. It says, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He's going to take the floor. He's going to give his counsel. It says in verse number 35, and he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas. Notice what the Bible says about Theudas in verse number 36, boasting himself to be somebody. I'm a nobody. So are you. Saved by the power of God Almighty and given a work to do for God Almighty. But this fellow Theudas, he was boasting himself to be somebody. And it says this, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. That's a pretty good crowd. 400 people is a pretty good crowd. It says, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered. And notice this last phrase, and brought to naught. 37, After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He doesn't give us the number there. And it says, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Listen, if we were just here for our own name, we're wasting our time. Honestly, we're wasting our time. But it says this in verse 39, but if it be of God, ye cannot, maybe you need to underline that word, circle it, ye cannot overthrow it. What's it? The work. If it's of God, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. Listen, this work that was being done by Nehemiah, those that are made mention in chapter number 3 of the book of Nehemiah, this was a work of God. This was a great work. Why? Because it was God's work. Again, any work for God is a great work. There's no small work in God's economy. He's a great God. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And anything, everything that we do for Him is a great thing. And by the way, it ought to be done with first class. It ought to be done to the best of our ability. Sometimes we use the phraseology, and I know we're in Northern Virginia, it's probably not popular, but I heard the phrase all throughout my career as I worked in the corporate world. People would say, well, it's good enough for government work. You ever hear that? And you hear that phraseology, see the guy in the Air Force, he's like, oh yeah, I know all about that. But the reality is that we've heard that phraseology. Listen, the work that we're doing is for God Almighty. We never, but never should mail it in, so to speak. Because we're doing a work for God. And we recognize that this is a great work. I won't take you there, but in Psalm 109 and verse 27, the Bible speaks about how people would see that it was God that did the work. We find that that's exactly what the enemy recognized in Nehemiah 6 and verse number 16. Now I want you to think about this. The Bible tells us as to the day in which the work was completed. In verse number 15 of Nehemiah 6, it tells us that the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul. Now that's the sixth month in the Jewish calendar. And I want you to go forward, if you will, to chapter number 8. And we're going to just kind of pick it up right here in the beginning of chapter number 8. And I want you to see what the Bible says. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man, in verse number 1, into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 2, upon the first day of the seventh month. Now the wall was finished in 52 days. It was finished on the 25th day of the sixth month. And now in chapter number 8, we're on the first day of the seventh month. Now, there are some Bible scholars that have tried to put specific dates and using our calendar method, and they've used these dates to say that the wall was completed, according to Nehemiah chapter 6, on what they would say would be the 21st day of the month of September, a calendar that we'd be recognizing in the year 444 B.C. And now in chapter number 8, we're on the 27th day of September in the year 444. So there's just 6 days. Just 6 days. And I want you to notice that they're gathered together upon the first day of the seventh month, and it says in verse number 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now remember, they were building a wall for 52 days. hard labor work. The men of Judah said, hey, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. It's been weakened. And Nehemiah in chapter number 6 says, oh God, strengthen my hands. And here we are 6 days later, and the Bible tells us in verse number 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Messiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Padiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. Notice the next phrase, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The hands, the very hands that were strengthened for the work that God had given them to accomplish, are now being raised in extension of worship of our great God. Isn't that amazing? These hands that are growing weary because of the work, because of the labor, the hard labor that was required, one hand holding a weapon while one hand is working to build the wall and all that's taking place. And Nehemiah says, oh God, strengthen my hands, and the work is accomplished. But then 6 days later, they're standing here and they're worshiping God, and the Bible says that they were lifting up those hands. That's encouraging to me. Because as their hands were strengthened for the work that God had given them to do, we find also that their hands were engaged in worshiping the God of heaven. And how precious that is. This evening, I understand that as we look at the book of Nehemiah, we can see an Old Testament account of an actual physical work that they were called to accomplish. But this evening, we're not building a wall. We're certainly engaged in a work. As we're engaged in the work, it's a spiritual work. But we're human beings and we can grow weary. We can grow weary. I want you to notice what the Bible says in the book of Galatians in chapter number 6. We'll look at a couple of New Testament passages and close this evening. But notice in Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 13, I want you to notice another admonition that is given to the people of God. Paul says in closing to the church at Thessalonica in verse number 13 of 2 Thessalonians 3, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. You know what that word weary means? It means to be exhausted. It also carries with it this idea of being utterly spiritless. Just being exhausted. Being weary. But God says, be not weary in well-doing. Paul is the human penman as he's writing to the churches in the region of Galatia, as he's writing now to the church in Thessalonica, and God is using him to say to the people of God, be not weary in well-doing. You say, but the work that we're doing, it's exhausting. There is an aspect of that. But I want you to notice what Paul's testimony is. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy, if you will. Just keep on going in the New Testament. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Of course, many of you would know that 2 Timothy, Paul is writing, understanding that the time of his departure was at hand. He says in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And Paul is nearing the end of his human life. His race is about to be completed. And he's seeking to encourage Timothy, his son in the faith. And I want you to notice the testimony of Paul after he mentions several people by name. He then says this in verse number 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And then notice these words, and strengthened me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen, God is no respecter of persons. Amen. We believe that this evening. The Bible declares that our God is no respecter of persons, and we find that as Paul would give testimony here in the book of 2 Timothy, that the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me. And we could think about the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, and we could understand some of the hardships in which he endured and some of the opposition in which he dealt with, and we can understand the timing. Listen, his travels were different than our travels. The ease of communication and transportation that we have today very greatly from what Paul had to endure and encounter. So often I wonder how the past generation got so much done. You ever wonder that? We have so many modern conveniences today, but it seems like we get so little done. I'm speaking for myself. How many of you ever used a concordance? Use a concordance, right? I don't know how you use a concordance, but I'm lazy. I don't use the book anymore. Why? Because it's on my computer. I'm just being honest with you. Because if I had to go over to my bookshelf and get the Strong's Concordance or the Young's Concordance off my bookshelf, then I have to turn and find it and search through. And then, but I can just sit down at my desk and I can just, and bam, it comes up. Have any of you used it on the computer? I got it on my phone, actually. But you know that those guys took a Bible and word by word organized it into a concordance? Every place you find the word fear, faith, fill in it, whatever, peace. I mean, you just fill in every word. And they went through. Can you imagine how much time that would take? Without the computer technology that we have today and all of the modern conveniences, it'll make your head explode. Seriously. There's a fella, Kimberly, you know him, Scotty Bachhaus, right? I don't know if I said his last name properly, but he's a pastor, and he helped work on the Bible. Some of you have read it, the chronological Bible. I think it's the Reese chronological Bible. And Scotty Bachhaus was helping as Mr. Reese was going home to be with the Lord and what have you. And so he's made another revision to it and changed some things around. But I met Scotty several years ago. I pray for him weekly. And as I met him and we began to talk about how this chronological Bible was put together. Have any of you ever read a chronological Bible? It takes the Bible and it puts it in chronological order. You understand that the Bible you hold in your hand tonight is not in chronological order. It's not. But we find that these, you know how this man did it? I don't know, Kimberly, if Scotty ever told you the testimony. He took a Bible and he took manila folders. I don't like manila folders. Lena knows that. I don't like them. Drive me crazy. I got a bunch of them, but they drive me crazy. And he would cut the manila folder in half so they'd have two pieces. And he would take the Bible, and as he read the Bible, he would take a penknife and he would cut up the pages of Scripture, and he would paste them onto those manila folders in a chronological sequence. Can you imagine that? That makes my head explode. Seriously. Because of the technology that we have. Think about the first century church. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. They turned the world upside down. We've been given so many conveniences. And we have God's power available to us for the work that He's called us to do. And yet at times it seems like we get so much less accomplished than what they got accomplished. 52 days. when you notice the response of the enemies, this is not humanly possible. This is a work of God. But it was the men that did it. They saw them. They observed what happened. And we find this evening that when we look and we understand, and maybe it's a matter of perspective, that the perspective that Nehemiah had, all of those things that we looked at in the first point this evening, what he recognized, God put a work in my heart. The report was accurate. God's hand is upon me. God is the one that has all power. And you go through all of that list, and you recognize that Nehemiah said, God has a work for me to do. And it caused him to be laser-focused on doing what God called him to do. But my strength is failing. Then I go to the God that is the Lord God omnipotent, and I say, God, strengthen my hands, for this is a great work, and it's your work. And this evening, each of us have a work to do. We need God's strength. Oh, there's opposition, there's adversity, but the reality is that we can grow weary. And Paul says, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me. And he'll strengthen you as well. This evening, Nehemiah simply prayed, oh God, strengthen my hands. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the testimony and the example of Nehemiah. And God, I pray that you would help us this evening, each of us, individually, to recognize that you've given us a work to do. God, that we'd recognize it's your work. It's a great work because it's your work. We know that the enemy wants to weaken our hands so that the work is not accomplished or fulfilled. But God, you are the Lord God omnipotent. You've strengthened those that have gone before us. God, we pray this evening that in that time of weakness, that time when we may grow weary, that we would acknowledge our need and that we would simply request, as Nehemiah did, for strength. God, strengthen us. Help us to complete, to fulfill what you've given us to do. I pray that in these moments of invitation, the Holy Spirit of God would use the Word of God, the hearts of your people, Lord, to encourage us and to challenge us. We'll thank you for the work that's accomplished, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with us?